The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called to them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was standing around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brother and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So today, as you might guess, is a bittersweet day for me. It's wonderful to be here, worshiping with you on a Sunday morning. I haven't been able to do that all that often for the last 8 years, and of course, certainly not for the last year and a half. It's wonderful to see folks, to see people in person, some for the first time in a while. So that's the sweet part. And of course, today is the end of my time on the staff at St. Andrew's, and that's the bitter part. I've been here 8 years now. I was just thinking about the way that time has passed. I have one kind of concrete marker. When I started at St. Andrew's, my younger son, this handsome man here in the front row, was just about to start high school. At that point, I was stronger than he was and faster than he was. At least that's what I told myself. And last week, he graduated from college, and I am no longer stronger or faster than he is. It's amazing to think about that. So as I come to the end of my time here at St. Andrew's, I think back first to its beginning. The opportunity to serve here came for me literally as an answer to a prayer. So when my family and I first moved to Western Massachusetts permanently, I had a temporary position at Mount Holyoke College. That wrapped up in 2013, and so at that point I had to find work. Well, I wanted to be part-time. I wanted to be in the church. It had to be in the area because we weren't moving. So there wasn't a lot of options, and I was anxious. So as it happens, our previous rector, Derek Fetz, one day, kind of casually at a church meeting, announced that he was planning to hire a part-time associate. Well, after that meeting ended, I hustled over to Derek to express my interest. Of course, I was trying to play it cool. I failed. So, because what Derek was talking about really was exactly what I was looking for. So inevitably, of course, I applied, and inevitably the application process took a few weeks. During that time, I started to pray. And so I did what we're not supposed to do, but which I do a lot. I began to tell God what God needed to do. I told God to get me hired at St. Andrews. When that did happen, I shifted my prayers. I began to thank God for a job well done. And here it is 8 years later, and I continue to thank God for having brought me to this place. So serving here has been a joy, and it has been a privilege. That's true for lots of reasons. One obvious reason is because this parish is filled with wonderful people. But it's more than that. It has to be more than that for church. But you really are the body of Christ. You really are filled with the Holy Spirit. You really are engaged with God's mission in the world. And I got to be part of that for 8 years. Now, a major part of my work here at St. Andrews has been in Christian formation. That has both a narrow and a broad sense. In the narrow sense, Christian formation means adult education. So it means coming together to talk, to think about Scripture, about our tradition, about the world. It means coming to learn. And I love all that. And this is a great place to do all that. But Christian formation has this more expansive sense as well. Our life together as a church, as the body of Christ, is all about us being formed and transformed by God into the people that God calls us to be, and that's both as individuals and as a parish family. So Paul is talking about formation in that more expansive sense of the term in the passage we just heard. So Paul says, it may be that our outer natures are wasting away. What he means is we get older and weaker with age. Of course, I can testify to that. But even if our outer natures are wasting away, Paul says our inner natures are being renewed day by day. And then he says, even now, we are being prepared for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Even now. That's an astonishing claim. So I'm just going to say it again. As we go about our ordinary lives, as we take care of the day-to-day business of being church, as we take care of the day-to-day business of living in the world, we are being prepared by God for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. As Christian people, we are invited to look for glimpses of that glory, even now, to look past what we see of the outer nature, to look beyond what we can see on the surface, to look beneath it, to look deeper, to see God's hand at work in the world around us, to look at what God is doing in our lives, in the lives of others. We're invited, we are called to see God's glory in each other. That's the calling. That's the theory. And in fact, for me, I think for most of us, I don't always do that. My tendency is to stick with the outer natures, to stick with what I can see, to get distracted by the day-to-day business. Say, I think that's true for all of us. And so mostly we fail to notice God's glory in each other, and we fail to see God's glory in ourselves. And for me, today, this week, has been an exception to that. So I spent the last week reflecting back over our last 8 years of ministry together. And what I can say is that I see God's glory, the eternal weight of God's glory, here, in you, in the people of St. Andrews. So here's just a couple of quick examples of that as I was thinking about this last week. So on Wednesday, Charlotte and I made a couple of pastoral visits. At one of the visits, we got to talking with somebody about Ann Burnett's funeral. So it was a good reminder. So for those who don't remember, Ann's funeral came at a time when the pandemic numbers were bad. We couldn't gather as a parish in person to grieve that loss together, but a few people could be physically present. Ann's family joined by live stream. And God was with us. And it was a holy moment. It was a moment when God's glory really was visible, despite loss, despite pandemic, despite physical separation. Here's another one. Last Wednesday was also the last day of our Bible study. So for 8 years, a group of us have been meeting basically every week to read and chat about the Bible. Pandemic didn't stop us. We just moved it to online. So at our final session, we had our regular kind of conversation. And afterwards, the group gave me really generous, and I mean kind of shockingly generous gifts. Peter Paradise Michael took a photo. It's going to be a commemorative photo, which he's going to give to me. Afterwards, Mike Scuderi hosted us at his home for a little gathering. And partly, that was just good and generous people being good and generous. But it was also another holy occasion. As the Spirit swirled around, and God's presence and God's glory became visible in apparently ordinary people who turn out to shine with God's glory just beneath the surface. That's a little bit of glory that I was reminded of or saw in the last week. I try to cast my mind back a little farther. It's hard to get on the other edge of the pandemic. I think about the last year and a half. So actually, just as a reminder, 2020 started great. That's when Charlotte came to us. Took a nasty turn. Right? The pandemic comes, the pandemic descends, and we all had to hunker down. We needed to do that for each other's health and well-being. And God's mission continued. It just had to look a little different. So what's St. Andrew's going to do? Well, of course, St. Andrew's rose to the challenge. So we continued to worship and to study and to serve. Charlotte was formally installed by our bishop. Church Without Walls adjusted and just kept going. We, and here I speak loosely because I was not involved in any way, started Longmeadow Loves to meet another set of ministry needs. We hired Kaylee to strengthen our ministry with teens. We started 3 sacred ground circles to give people an opportunity to talk and pray together about issues of faith and racial justice. Now starting a good news garden, starting conversations about our centennial celebration. These are some of the things that just came to me in a few minutes of thinking about it. And the point is simple. God's mission continued here, alive and well, straight through the pandemic. And that might look on the surface like it's just church being church, but you don't have to look particularly hard to see God's glory shining in this place through this last challenging year. God's hand has been at work. The life of the Spirit has been vigorous. And all around us are glimmers of the eternal weight of glory that Paul is talking about. So I'm grateful to have been able to share in that glory over 8 years of ministry with you. I'm grateful for the many ways that so many of you have inspired me. I'm grateful for the eternal weight of glory that I continue to see in you. And for that glory, I give thanks to God. And I pray that God's glory continues to shine more and more brightly here in this place and in all of you. In Christ's name, amen.